Let's just open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to look into your word. And Father, there's much going on in the world in which we live today. So much, Lord. But we have to be discerning of what's going on. And we're being bombarded from every side. And Lord, there's things that are being done in the world today that are actually counterfeit, and they're a deception of the real. So, Father, we ask that by your Spirit, Father, that you reveal to us and show us. And we just don't take it for granted, Father, but we actually examine and look at what is going on and ask you, Lord, to show us, because you will and you desire to. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, once again, you know, there's things going on in the world, and there's something that's really been going on recently. And I think it was Friday or whatever, I read something. And when I read it, I'm like, Lord, what is missing? There's something missing that's being done in the world today. And it's being done a lot. And it's gathering a lot of publicity, a lot of news coverage. And I'm just going to start by reading what the Lord had me write down early this morning. Anytime we see something going on in the world, we should always look to see what God's perspective is. Now, does anyone know what an idiom is? Okay, an idiom is a word or group of words or phrase that has a figurative meaning that is not easily deduced from its literal definition. Example, beating around the bush. Let the cat out of the bag. Hit the sack. Barking up the wrong tree. Dime a dozen. Those are all idioms, okay? Well, there's another one that has resurfaced, and it's called take a knee. I said, and this is what the Lord had me begin to look at, because we're seeing that a lot, but there's something missing. And so I said, okay, where did this idiom come from? The phrase occurred in the 1960s. Originally, an invitation to take a knee was an invitation to pray during a sports practice or sports game, either as a group or silently. It was also used in the military. Soldiers are asked to take a knee while they are instructed or praised on the job, or as a method of taking a watchful rest. I'm like, okay. In football, the ball's kicked on a kickoff, the receiver receives it in the end zone, and the player takes a knee in order to officially end the play. That's where take a knee came from. But when you go back and look at the history of taking a knee, it shows it is usually interpreted as a respectful pause, whether to pray, listen to a commanding officer or coach, or stop the action or to rest. That was the purposes for taking a knee. And the Lord goes, something's missing. I want you to go to Genesis chapter 18. We're going to go through a lot of scriptures this morning. Genesis 18. Because in looking this up, the history says that occurred 1960s. Well, wrong again. In chapter 18, verse 1, and the Lord appeared to him in the plains of Mamre, And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from my servant. The word bow himself means to bend or take a knee. So, this was written in 1898 B.C. So, taking a knee is not a new term. It's been around a long time. Go over to Genesis chapter 41. Chapter 41, this is during the period of time in which Joseph is made ruler over Egypt. And in verse 41, And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I've set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, Bow the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. Once again, here's an example of bowing the knee, bending the knee, okay? Bending the knee can have a positive or it can have a negative connotation in God's Word. Now, let's see what it says in Exodus. Exodus chapter 20. Does the Ten Commandments mention anything about bowing the knee? Well, in verse 4, well, start in verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make it unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Says, Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them. Okay? Now, the reason I include that, because with the start of the baseball season, there was a young man with the San Francisco Giants that refused to take a knee, because he had the conviction that I am to bow before God and God alone. Okay? Now, is he being persecuted for that? Of course. He's going to be persecuted for that. But was God pleased? Yeah, God was very pleased. Now, go to Romans chapter 14. Help by getting the right book. Corinthians is not the right book. In verse 11, this comes from, it's repeating what is said in Isaiah 45:23. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. See, there is a bowing of the knee to God that's crucial. Very crucial. But there's also something that's missing, which we're going to get to. In Philippians, go to Philippians chapter 2. There's a lot of bowing in the Bible. But it was always to God. Philippians 2. I'm going to start in verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Every knee should bow, and every knee is going to bow to God and God alone. Okay? It was never intended, if we take a knee and bow to a man, it's out of respect. It's not out of adoration or for the purpose of worshiping and praising that individual. Because that's contrary to what God's Word says. And in Psalm 95, I said, I got a lot of scriptures here. Psalm 95. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Who are we to kneel before? The Lord our God, our Maker. That's the one we're to kneel before. But once again, the world will always take something that God has already said we need to do, but it gets twisted. Always does. My wife always tells me, if the world is doing it, you probably need to do the opposite. Because God said He's going to use the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God doesn't do things the way the world does it. He usually does it just the opposite. Go to Acts chapter 20. This is Paul speaking, and I'm going to start in verse 35. And I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when He had thus spoken, He kneeled down and prayed with them all. This is what the Lord showed me. This is the beginning of it. There's more. I'm going to read more verses that confirm what I just read there. And when He had thus spoken, He kneeled down and prayed. That's what's missing. All this taking a knee, what is missing is they're not praying when they take that knee. Just stop and think what would happen in this world if everyone who took a knee was praying to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But when we look through the scripture, a lot of times when they took a knee, they kneeled and prayed. The two go hand in hand. You can't just kneel. Yeah, there's a time for kneeling. There's a time for showing respect and adoration. But more things get done when we kneel and pray than just kneeling. Ephesians chapter 3. Paul's, the passage of scriptures starting in verse 14, it's prayer for inner growth. But he says here in verse 14, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Lord our God, our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." But see, Paul starts with, "I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul knew that Not only is that position, there's something in that position. When we bow our knee to God and we begin to worship and pray, there's something that happens. Can't explain it, but there's something that happens. And here he's praying for inner growth for you and I. Go back to Acts chapter 21. It says in verse 4, "And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. And when we had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way, and they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city. And what did they do? We kneeled down on the shore and prayed." Once again, there's a kneeling down, but there's prayer that goes with the kneeling down. When's the last time you saw a newscast of someone on one knee praying in tongues? I don't think you saw it because it's not there. If it is, they're not showing it. Okay? There are people that are taking a knee, bowing their knees before God and praying. And that's what Carter Conlon has been encouraging people to begin to pray and intercede for that day in November when he's going back to Plymouth Rock. See? October? Okay. That's right. It's October, not November. That would be too late. October 7th, I believe. Sixth? Okay. Wrong both times. But, you know, there's something that God's wanting you to do. And when we take a knee and pray, not just take a knee, not just bow our knees to God, but bow our knees to God and pray, there's something that supernaturally happens. And I think God is wanting us, even though the world is doing it and they're not doing it God's way, God is wanting us as His people to bow our knees and to pray on behalf of one another, on behalf of this country, on behalf of this world, because it's a mess. It is a mess. Now, did Jesus ever take a knee?
Yeah,
go to Luke. Go to Luke chapter 22. I think you and I might have taken a knee at this time that I'm about to read. Luke chapter 22. Verse 42. Saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Verse 41, thank you. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed. The most difficult time in his life, because he was going to be separated from his father. What did he do? He kneeled down and prayed. And he prayed, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. See, we have an example. Here's Jesus. He's kneeling down. But what did he do? He just didn't kneel down and go, I can't take this anymore. No, he kneeled down and he prayed. He was seeking God's, the Father's will. Not his will, but his own will. You know, sometimes we get to a point in our lives where we just like, we give up and we just fall to our knees and we cry and we sob. But we forget to pray and ask the Lord, Lord, show me your will in this situation. Show me your plans for this situation. I learned at a very crucial time in my life not to ask why, but show me what you want to learn, Lord. Show me what you're trying to teach me. See, the Lord is always wanting to teach us something. No matter what we're going through, the Lord has a teaching moment in that thing that we're going through. But do we ask him to show us, or do we throw up our hands and throw in the towel? Now, we know someone else. We're going to take a look at some examples of other people. What about Daniel? Go to Daniel chapter 6. I mean, there's lots of examples of men of God that knelt and prayed. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Now, was Daniel in a difficult situation here? Yeah, he was having to make a decision. He was having to make a stand. But once King Darius signed the writing and decree, what was the first thing Daniel does? Verse 10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chambers toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. 3 times a day he knelt on his knees and he prayed. And what else did he do? He gave thanks. See, that's the other part that's missing just by taking a knee. When we take a knee and we pray and we give thanks, we add the final piece to what pleases the Father, what pleases God. God is wanting us to bow our knees to Him. He's wanting us to pray, and He's wanting us to give thanks. For everything that's going on in our life. He wants that to be part of our life. So is there anything wrong with taking a knee? No. But don't do it. Just don't take a knee to take a knee. Take a knee with prayer and thanksgiving. That's where the power is at. It's not in the taking a knee. 1 Kings. 1 Kings. chapter 8. Here we have Solomon in verse 54. And it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. What was Solomon doing? He was praying on his knees. But what was he also doing? He was giving thanks and worshiping God. So here we have another example of Solomon. 2 Chronicles, chapter 6. Verse 12. This is Solomon's prayer of dedication. Verse 12, and he says, and he stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands. For Solomon had made a brazen scaffold of 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad and 3 cubits high, and had set it in the midst of the court. And upon it he stood and kneeled down upon his knees before all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands toward heaven and said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven nor in the earth, which keepeth covenant and showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. He bowed his knees. He bowed his knees. He was worshiping God. And then he was thanking him because he was saying, there's no God like thee. There's none. There's none in heaven nor in the earth. Because why? We have a God that keeps covenant. And he shows mercy unto you and I every day. His mercies are new every morning. Verse 15, Thou which hast kept with thy servant David my father, that which thou hast promised him and spaketh with thy mouth, hast fulfilled it with thine hand as it is this day. See, we can trust God. God is faithful. God keeps his covenant. Go to Ezra. Next book over. Ezra chapter 9. Verse 4. Then were assembled unto me every one that trembled at the words of God of Israel. We need a trembling at the words of God in the United States of America. Because of the transgression of those that had been carried away, and I sat astonished until the evening sacrifice. And at the evening sacrifice I arose up from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God and said, O my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee. My God, for our iniquities are increased over our head and our trespass is grown up unto the heavens. Since the days of our fathers have we been in a great trespass unto this day. And for our iniquities have we, our kings and our priests, been delivered into the land, into the hand of the kings of the lands, to the sword, to captivity, and to a spoil, and to confusion of face as it is this day. Kind of sounds like the United States, doesn't it? Sounds a lot like the United States. Verse 8, and for now, for a little grace hath been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a nail in his holy place that our God may enlighten our eyes and give us a reviving in our bondage. Oh Lord, lighten our eyes and give us a reviving in the bondage in which we're living today. Cause our eyes to be open to see what is going on. This is the one that really got me. Go to Acts chapter 9. Once again, this is a story we know. We know that there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. I'm reading in verse 36. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and she died. Whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And for as much as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him, weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth. I always wondered, maybe he said, you guys need to get out of here because their faith wasn't too good at that moment. I don't know. But it was interesting. He put them all forth. And then look what he did after he put them all forth. He kneeled and prayed. And turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes when she saw Peter. She sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. But what did he do? He kneeled and prayed. I mean, I challenge you to find where it talks about kneeling and prayer is not included. It's like two bookends. They have to be there. If you're going to kneel, you need to be praying. If you're kneeling, you need to be praying and giving thanks. Because that's the purpose of kneeling before the Lord our God, our Maker. We're acknowledging. When we bow down, when we bow our knees and go on our knees before the Lord, we're acknowledging His Lordship. We're acknowledging His power. We're acknowledging His presence. Now, we're in the book of Acts. Just go back to chapter 7. This is where Stephen gets stoned. And I'm going to start in verse 59. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, revive my spirit. What did Stephen do? He kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he said this, he fell asleep. I wrote down, what a wonderful position and spirit in which to die. He died, knelt down before God, and that's right, Eleanor. His heart was a heart of forgive them, Lord. He held no malice. He held no resentment toward those that were there stoning him. Can you imagine bowing down on your knees and the Lord says, okay, one last time, Stephen, you're going to give me praise and adoration and I'm going to answer your prayer because you're going home. What a way to go. What a way to go. And as I was looking at that, the Lord put this statement in my heart. We can all see someone bowing their knee. We can all see someone praising God. We can all see someone kneeling and praying. But this is what the Lord said. Which is more important? The posture of the heart or the position of the body? See, we can take on a certain position, and that's what's happening in the world today. The world is taking on a position of bowing a knee. What's the posture of their heart? What's the focus of that heart as they take a knee? As we take a knee, it should be to worship God. It should be to give God thanks. It should be to prayer. So, our heart is just as important as the position we take when we bow our knee. I mean, we can come up and bow our knee on this altar, but our heart is far from God. That's not good. But when we bow our knee and pray and give thanks with the right heart, things begin to happen. Things begin to change. And I just wrote down, what is the world missing? What's it missing? Missing prayer. They're taking their knees but they're leaving Jesus out of the equation. They're just bowing the knee. But if you bow the knee and pray, and give praise and thanksgiving and give worship unto the Lord, things will begin to change. You can't make enough laws to resolve the situations that are going on in the world. But we can bow our knees before God and pray, and things will change. They will change. There are men of God that have changed nations as a result of being on their knees and praying. They've changed nations. And Carter Conlon has been placed on his heart, it's time to pray. And brothers and sisters, it is time to bow our knees and pray. We need to be doing the opposite of what the world's doing. The world is getting on one knee, but we need to get on our knees, and we need to get on our knees and add prayer and worship and adoration. And watch what happens. Because you know what? Guess who's still on the throne? Not all these organizations, not all these things that people are getting on one knee for, that they're not on the throne. They're not in charge. They would want us to believe they're in charge, but they're not in charge. God is still on the throne. God has not left the throne. God is still going to have his ways in these last days. And we cannot be moved by what we're seeing, but we can be moved to get on our knees and pray. And I'm saying this as a word of encouragement today, because I could not find throughout the scriptures, when I was going through them, the separation of bowing the knee in prayer. They're just linked together. They are linked together. You can't separate them. And anytime there was something that was taking place, I mean, what happened with Daniel? Daniel was three times a day. You think Daniel maybe knew in advance what was ahead of him for defying the decree of the king? I mean, when I taught, the last time I taught, and I was talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I mean, that's mind-boggling. But here's Daniel. Daniel's bowing his knee and praying three times a day. And he gets thrown in lion's den, and they're like little pet kitty cats. You think that prayer didn't change things? You didn't think that prayer didn't change a wild cat into a domestic cat while he was there? They went back to wild cats when he was taken out. Because they devoured those men that were put in that area with Daniel. So what am I? I'm trying to encourage you, is because the Lord just said, once again, the world's trying to do something, but it's twisted. It's not what I intended. I intended for people to bow their knee. I intended for people to take a knee. But I never intended for people to take a knee without prayer and thanksgiving. Because with prayer and thanksgiving, my will gets accomplished. I will change hearts. I will change nations. I will put people of leadership in positions that need to be put in those positions, because you have bowed your knee to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And because of your bowing of the knee and your prayer and your thanksgiving, I'm now allowed to move. See, we can't look at all this stuff that the media is telling us. This nation was founded upon a godly principle. We may not be thoroughly walking in a godly principle, but I just remember what Carter Conlon said. It must have been a couple weeks ago when he was on Tuesday night. And what the Lord is preparing him to pray when he goes to Plymouth Rock. And it really gripped my heart, because it wasn't, oh Lord, you know, continue to watch over and bless this country. No, it was, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us as a nation for what we have done with what you've given us. And you know what? God will answer that prayer. God will move upon this country. But God is asking you and I to begin in advance of that October 7th. Three times I've been wrong. October 6th, okay? But God is asking us in advance to begin to bow our knees and to pray for one another, to pray for this country, to pray for the leaders of this country. Because God will hear us. God will answer us. And then God's will be accomplished because we've bowed our knees, because He's still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Never gotten off that throne. And He's never going to get off that throne. Heavenly Father, oh, we thank You, Lord. We thank You for knowing that You have an answer. You have an answer for everything that goes on in this world. Lord, there is an answer for what's going on in this world right now, Father. And that is for us to once again bow our knees and pray. To pray for the things that You show us. Because, Lord, we want to submit. Because along with the bowing of the knee, Lord, You show me there's also a submission that takes place. We submit our lives to Your Lordship, Father. We submit our will to Your will. We submit our ways to Your way, Father. We submit Your plans and Your purposes over our plans and our purposes. Because, Lord, You have things that You want to accomplish before Your Son Jesus Christ returns for its bride. So, Lord, cause us to be that people that will bow our knees and pray and give thanks, adoration, and praise unto the King of Kings. In Jesus' name, amen.